Log Talk Radio.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the K. Thompson Live Show. It's January 9th, 2019, the second Wednesday of the new year. I'm one of those people that is happy to see 2018 go. A lot of things going on, certainly always adventurous with the head of state. At least we have a new Congress in there that is taking over, at least from the House of Representatives side. And just a whole bunch of stuff going on. What else happened? The Golden Globes happened. The NFL playoffs happened. A whole bunch of stuff going on. You want to chime in here? Do you want to say anything? It's K. Thompson Live Show. I'm the person known as Citizen Payne, and you are the... Here we go. There you go. Put it up to your ear.
Wow. Wow. Kay Thompson, everyone. Hello and welcome to the Kay Thompson Live Show. We have a lot of things we want to talk about. There's a lot of things to be thankful for, really. You know, and then some things that, you know, are not going so well or too well. As a matter of fact, you know, that the nitwit, the nut in the White House, is the cause of some of the stuff going around in the country that's weighing heavily on a lot of the American people. And it's really a new day, a new time, and I guess we all have to get a lot more energy going in order to fight with the man in the White House, because he obviously does not know what he is doing. I really don't think the man is sane, really. And he yells all over the place, and he lies persistently, consistently. And sometimes you wonder how someone like that can be in that seat, and how some of the American people can be so vulnerable.
All right, let's go on and welcome one of our co-hosts this evening, Mr. Byron Saunders. Byron, how you doing this evening?
Well, it's another blessed day in paradise. Hello. It's another blessed day in paradise, and it's nice to be on air, and welcome back, Eric. We missed you last week. And do you know that 50 years ago, on January 3rd, Shirley Chisholm was sworn in as the first African-American congresswoman?
Yep.
And I think that's a real significant piece of history, because as we move forward, we're beginning to see how women are making an impact on what's getting ready to happen next in the nation's future. So I'm encouraged, Kay and Eric, because there are some really good things on the horizon that we're about to take out this slimy politician that we know, you know. So it's going to happen.
You mentioned Shirley Chisholm.
Yeah.
We had a garden party, a long time ago, and she was invited, you know, to the garden party because it was for her. You know, we were raising money for Shirley Chisholm, and that was I forget the year, a long time ago, but anyway, she was a wonderful lady. She was very bright. She was very intelligent. As all of our black women are, by the way. And also she had a way about her of making her philosophy of life, you know, known in a very quiet way. Yeah. You know, some of us yell and scream. I'm one of those. But, you know, when I want to, I can be very quiet when I don't want to. But Shirley Chisholm was a lady, and she was very intelligent. I'm very impressed with her. And I'm glad to have met her. Were you glad to have met her, Eric, also?
Yeah. Shirley Chisholm was there. She came by the house. I believe it was in the early 70s. I forget. I, maybe the 80s, Shirley Chisholm came by. And, yeah, so it was somewhat impressive as a...
It was a garden party for her.
Right. And it was pretty impressive when you look back and meet Shirley Chisholm. So that was good, too. Apparently in the news today, there's what you mentioned Trump and all. I'm just looking at the thing real quick and seeing that the guy, Tom Steyer, who was the billionaire that is promoting the Impeach Trump Now movement, is decided not to run for president, which is interesting because that was what his whole campaign had been about, that he was going to decide to run for president and try to get Trump impeached. So I guess now he's satisfied with the field of candidates that seem to be lining up. Have you heard any of that? Byron, are you familiar with that that new bit of news?
Well,
I just have been looking down on my phone seeing that.
Well, there are at least 32 candidates that are capable of being the Democratic choice, and that is as of yesterday. So Mr. Steyer is withdrawing. I think it will be down now to 31 flavors, so stay tuned.
That's all.
that's all. So, yeah,
yeah. Hopefully we won't shoot ourselves in the foot, Democrats, again. You know, that once one person is decided upon, that we can all come together. I know there's excitement around the new class of freshman people that are in the Congress. So many women come in and things like that.
Especially black women.
Yeah, a lot of black women, women of color. And I get the feeling kind of that some of them, or at least one in particular, I'm not going to name her, is enjoying the press a little bit too much from my perspective, just from somebody looking on the outside, looking in, that this person is really not not the person that might not turn out to be a team player. Let's go in and welcome our other host, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Wayne.
Good evening, Eric and Kay and Byron. And I'm very curious as to who you're alluding to. I'll go out as far as saying that it sounds like someone from the Boogie Down Bronx. But
I'm not going to say who.
You're not going to say who.
You can draw your own inferences and how you feel. I can say that I've heard that this person has gone to campaign for against members of the Congressional Black Caucus, members of the Congressional Black Caucus,
and
campaigned against them.
What are we talking about?
As trying to run people against some of the leadership that was in the members of the Black Caucus that were gaining leadership. So, a lot of times, the whole thing about politics is that it's a lot of notoriety. I've heard people reference Hollywood, Washington being like Hollywood, except with ugly people. It was kind of a joke because, the movie star looks. But there's a certain amount of celebrity comes, as you guys know, with anything that is high profile where a lot of people know you. And I found during the course of my life being in a career where that can happen that people either adjust to it, they trip out for a little while, then they adjust, or they trip all the way out. So I'm able to see it. I don't want to say who because I have some sort of insider information about the person going to campaign against respected members of the Congressional Black Caucus. So, you draw your own conclusions as to what you feel. Obviously it's not only me that feels that because you mentioned someone who it possibly could be, Wayne, and it was kind of something that you felt,
Well, so. Initially, I'm going to go as far as saying, I'm not exposing, obviously you have not gone as far as to even reveal who you're talking about, but, I initially admired Ocasio-Cortez only because I thought she was a breath of fresh air. Not that I don't think that to a certain extent. And I think sometimes you need, you know, young minds. You know, I go back to the days when, you know, when I was 30 years younger and be out there protesting against the war and, you know, understanding the political landscape, trying to understand the political landscape of what was going on in New York politics. You know, once I got started in working in media full time, you know, I really got an insider's view. And as I was saying to a friend of mine earlier today, it's interesting because, you know, and this is where experience. I mean, you may have a lot of knowledge as a millennial. You may have a lot of knowledge as someone who can, you know, work the show and provide a difference, but I still maintain that experience is the bottom line. You know, I mean, I made a ton of mistakes early in my career, and had I not had, you know, a Kay Thompson or a Frankie Crocker or a Jerry Bledsoe or David Lampel, you know, and that's just from the black perspective. I had a number of people who were not of color that helped me as well. And, you know, the deal is that you when you get into something like this, you have to, you know, walk quietly until you get your legs together in terms of, and that's a poor analogy, I don't mean this in a sexual manner, but in her case, she needs to get acquainted with the climate, and you're no longer out there campaigning, looking to win voters against the incumbent, like what Donald Trump did, say certain things to tweak an audience a certain way that would basically bring about the kind of election that he had with the Russian government, with the help of the Russian government, as it seems to be the case more and more so each day. But it saddens me because as a person of color, if in fact that is who you're speaking of, you know, if anyone...
I say who again? What's the matter with you all? You said to say the name who?
No, I don't know who. I'm just list. I tuned in. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had the flu, and I tuned
who
in a little late. And the thing is that if it's some, I mean, I would hate to think that somebody of color would go against the Congressional Black Caucus. You know, I mean, people like even the exposed and unceremoniously departed Conyers, Congressman Conyers from Detroit, spent many years there doing the work of what black people needed, you know, at that particular time. It's unfortunate that he got caught up. And again, it was just, I think, symptomatic of the era that in which he was reared in this political climate. But there's so many others, you know, that have done so much for the community. And the Paines, I mean, not to sound self-serving, but, you know, your cousin and your uncle. I mean, your uncle is a trailblazer. I mean, there's no question about the legacy he leaves behind. Charlie Rangel, you may not agree with all of what these people have done, but you can't throw water. You're just coming in, and you can't just throw water on folk because you just don't think that what they're doing applies to what needs to be done to make the changes to make America great again. Pardon my use of that.
You know, I think it's more than that, and as in anything in life, it's called respect for the elders or respect for people who have been there before you in any job or scenario where you're coming in and joining a group of people or profession or maybe social things that aren't professional. Respect people who were there before you and what they were able to accomplish and build. And the broadness of the arena of politics and public service that allows itself for people to get carried away with their authority, lose sight once they get in positions. As in life, human beings, you know, they get caught up. You know, they get impressed with themselves. They do this, they do that. and you know, or they're from an era where certain things are okay, and you know, they abuse their positions of authority. You know, you find that in people that are security guards at at any store or whatever sometimes. So
yeah,
people just get caught up with the level of respect, and there's a certain thing you know, you got to be humble. Like you said, you got to be humble. You know, and people want to interview you and put you on TV. You know, the cameras in the movie Malcolm X, the Elijah Muhammad says to Malcolm, the cameras are more powerful than the most powerful narcotics. You know, the allure of people's attention and adjuration admiration. Excuse me. You know, that can cause people to get caught up and carried away with themselves and lose sight of the big picture. Certainly someone like Kanye's and many other guys who unfortunately had to get out, Al Franken, you know, they've done good work. But some of the mistakes and things that they've done, you know, caught up with them. And those, I think, in certain instances are examples of people getting carried away with their position to a certain degree.
Exactly.
Whether they, you know, every human being has flaws. It's just a matter of, you know, of how they approach or try to handle them. You know, that was said about Dr. King too, that he was a philanderer or had, might have messed around with other women outside of his marriage. So, you know, everybody's human beings, but it's the respect. It's the, you know, the respect for those who have come before you and have built the things that you're able to build upon. And you should at least respect that if you can't respect what they do. Like I said, politics sometimes lends itself to people just throwing all people who serve in government or who can be labeled politicians, they throw them all in one basket and think they're all the same. And they're not doing enough and they're not, you know, whatever. But certainly the unique situation that African Americans find ourselves in the United States is more unique than any other group, I believe. And when you have someone that comes from another group, that a group that has faced the same similar situations that we've faced, but then doesn't seem to understand or the contributions given by everybody, it's unfortunate.
I hope to tell you that the two of you are sounding boring at this particular point. Are you afraid?
Well,
to,
I don't know.
Are you afraid to mention this young lady's
name?
Well,
as I said, this.
Let me know.
As I said,
I've been out of it for a few days, you know, because of certain, you know, family things. But tell me the young lady's name so I can call her out.
Well, that's,
so people will know who to be aware of in our community. Okay.
Like I said. Because of the sources that I have and the insight, like you said, Wayne, and working in, you know, when you work in media, you work in government, you work in the various positions, even people who are really wealthy get to know things and have access to information about individuals, leaders, and various people in the public eye that the general public doesn't do. And they're able to see their faults because sometimes these people let their hair down around these people. I'll say it again. I don't really want to say it because of how I found out some of the information. I'm trying to protect the people that might, so that's why I'm not saying who it is, okay? Now, people can draw their own inferences. I'm sure people are astute enough to know what they feel coming off of people. I was watching CNN the other day, and they were talking about this woman out of Detroit, new congresswoman out of Detroit who called the president MF. And there was this sister there that did PR for the Sanders campaign, and she was talking about, yeah, it's messed up, but it's language. Everybody curses and politicians curse. And the basic issue that her and the person who was on the opposite side of the spectrum, the Republican type, everybody agreed that it's not language you should necessarily use to your son, because the woman said this to her son, we're going to impeach that MF. But the really interesting part was that the sister said, this woman got elected because the black vote was split in Michigan. That's how this woman was able to get elected to Congress, because it's a predominantly African-American district, or large numbers of African-American district live in the district. So she got in by the black vote being split. Too many African-Americans running for the same position. So that was the point she pointed out. Was that it was unfortunate that the person was able to get elected because of that, and that as a real representative of the district, probably would have been somebody else. But, you know, That's the bravado I don't mind, you know, going after it. But, you know, it's, and we understand them questioning their own party, wanting new blood. But, you know, some of the people have are there for a reason. They keep getting reelected for a reason. Either they are doing a good job or the people aren't paying attention. But the people that are longstanding in Congress for a reason, and their district seems to be happy with the work that they're doing, and they keep sending them back. So, you know, any number
I'm saddened if it is, in fact, because, again, I don't know. I'm not going to force you with that, you know. I mean, the deal is that I know that this young lady, she's pretty, she's Latina, and she gets a lot of attention. You know, when I first saw her, I, you know, was really, you know, was taken by her look and her articulation about the issues of the day and the way she presented herself. And, you know, the deal is that I've seen that around my life. You know, it's not like if this is a new phenomenon, but I also had heard rumblings that, you know, she's shaken a few people who have been part of the foundation in the congressional walls. And I, if I'm not mistaken, I think she had some differences with Nancy Pelosi over her leadership, you know?
Okay, I know.
But I still maintain that the old guard is important in this particular contest, that because it is like a contest trying to get this guy to reason. You know, I just think it's shameful that all these federal workers are not going to be able to enjoy the fruits of their labor, and that, you know, he's talking about people coming into the country illegally by going over the wall or under the wall or what have you in the southern border. But what about all these other people who are now being affected by safety? I had a conversation with a cousin of mine last night who flies for a particular airline, and she told me that she's concerned because she's seen a drop-off in the number of agents who would do screening at the airport, and even people who are guarding the flying public. You know, she flies between, I'll just say, BWI and Peking, China once a week. That's one of her routes. And I would be damned if God forbid, I lost this person, not just because it's my family, but all the other people who would be flying not knowing that how vulnerable they are because of some man's arrogance, that he feels that he could, you know, call the shots with what goes on with this funding for the border. And I mean, it's shameful. It's despicable. And, you know, if ever there was a time, and I'm not one to espouse his impeachment, but he's coming apart at the seams every day. It doesn't matter, you know, what time of day it is, you know, you know, what topic that you're talking about. It just seems like the undoing is here, and we don't need, as we have now balanced the landscape politically, we don't need someone from the opposing ranks, ranks of which I would be supporting come 2020, to turn around and undermine what we're trying to do to level the playing field, you know, by thinking that I have the best idea and to hell with what everybody else has done. And that's it. You know, Kay, I'm certain you feel the same way.
Yeah, I am. And I am calling for his impeachment and probably something worse. And I don't understand why you guys are, you know, if he was standing in front of me right now, I'd take a bat and hit him, right? First of all, I'd probably have to find the bat.
Sometimes
I would really,
I
I'm serious. I am really serious.
No, I understand
he is
what
doing
you're saying.
So much damage. No, Wayne. This man, one little sneaky-looking, funny-looking man who has orange hair, who has a ton of money, is changing the entire United States of America? Are you kidding? And you're not going to say anything about him? We're talking about him. Here's Trump.
Right.
I'm calling for a dump Trump movement. Look at the millennials. They're more active than some adults.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get it going, everyone. Let's get rid of the dumb and dump the Trump. And pretty soon. Do it right away, as soon as possible.
The thing about it, and I want to get your take in here too, Byron. Let me just make these two other points. The elected systems, certainly in the states as well as the on the national level, the House of Representatives, they work on seniority, right? So the longer somebody's been there, the more seniority they have, the more power they have, the more they're able to make certain decisions and influences. And once the party, your party gets control, as the Democrats have, those with the most seniority get, you know, chairmanship positions and things like that. And they dictate what goes on in both houses, right? They dictate what rule, what bills could come up for a vote, as Mitch McConnell refused to allow certain bipartisan measures to open the government to even come up for a vote. So they can dictate a lot of the flow and the direction of the country without even having to cast a vote, right? They can dictate what committee assignments, who gets what, and the various things. So it's very important in an institution that works on seniority. When the Democrats start getting seniority, we always want to talk about term limits. But, you know, so we got to understand the game that we're playing, the game that the way politics works, certainly the way it works down in Washington, D.C. And secondly is the arrogance. You know, you talked about his arrogance. I'm just remembering when he says, you know, when someone asks him, what about all the workers, federal workers that aren't getting paid? And then he says they'll do what they always do. They know what to do. And what is that? It's kind of like what's the French woman that said, let them eat cake, Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. That's, I mean, he is so detached from the needs of the average working person, and he could care less. He could care less. That's the whole thing. It's about 1 million people that they can't feed their families, you know, and this guy could care less. And today, if you watched the news, they said that he threw a temper tantrum when they said he wasn't going to get the wall, slammed his hands on the desk and walked out. So this is an individual who clearly has, I believe, mental issues. If you watch him, whenever he has to read something off of a teleprompter, either he's dyslexic or there's something going on with his learning or cognitive ability, and it is apparent to me. And Byron, you want to jump in here? You're on here.
Well, I had someone tell me, as related to his performance, was that he needed to be immediately tested for drugs, because they said his snorting and his sniffing were very remnant of a individual high on cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, you take a look at this, and this is a pattern that he has consistently engaged in, and I don't think he is, but you know what? As crazy as we all have indicated that he's been acting, what's to say? One more conspiracy about a nut that's in the office. I think it's worthy of at least having him tested, because the thing that's interesting that is coming up next is, if he does continue to have temper tantrums, the 25th Amendment becomes very much in play. And they will begin to question his capacity to handle the job and the pressures of the job.
You think? I don't think so, because people are moving too slowly, and it's so unnecessary.
Well,
you know, it's unnecessary for us to not, you know. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, for a person who is a narcissist and who is being backed up into a corner, he begins to show signs of a mental
breakdown
in terms of how to handle so much.
Who the heck cares? I hope he does have a mental breakdown.
Himself. Right, in terms of how to handle that adversity and someone actually telling him no and standing up to him. And
yes.
You talked about patterns. Apparently, we're not noticing patterns anymore, or at least the ones around him. But if you look at their faces, look at some of the, like just when he was signing the pen the other day, look at their faces around him.
Yeah.
You know, that round table setting he had last week where he had a poster. This guy actually had a movie poster made up of himself.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at some of the faces on some of the people, at least the acting Secretary of Defense, look at his face. I mean, some of them are like this, you know, but none of them say it. They're like the king's men, and they just want the power, and they're willing to go along with whatever madness. This is, you know, it is bordering on someone who's so narcissistic, so caught up, that they are a detriment to the organization that they're running. This guy actually put a movie poster out, and then not only the one that he had laid on the table. He had it laid out on the table. Brother man had it laid out on the table. Byron, you're going to have to call back if you're still on because your call has dropped. So call back real quick. But he had it laid out on the table where I didn't notice it at first, but when I saw it, that he had it laid out the long ways, it's just unbelievable. Let's talk about sanctions are coming. And then to tweet it again with that kind of poster, Wayne, I don't know if you saw it, but with a different version of movie poster.
No, I think I heard about it, but, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think Byron brought up a very interesting subject because I thought, quite frankly, the fact that he didn't have a crowd around him cheering him on had a lot to do with his temperament last night. But, you know, I never went on that drug theory business, but, you know, who knows, you know? You don't want to think so, but who knows? But with regard to what you're saying, I just have, you know, lost all, even if I don't politically agree with Pence and Lindsey Graham and McConnell, I've lost all respect because, you know, they just have a way of kissing, you know what? And just,
especially,
you know,
Lindsey Graham.
It's shameful. They're spineless.
Yeah, it is. It is. And your mic is back on. You're reconnected again,
yes.
Byron, if you wanted to jump right
Thank
back
you.
In.
Oh, well, yeah, it's fine. Thank you, guys. But, I mean, basically what Wayne was just saying.
We were talking about the movie poster.
The movie poster. And you see the way he is reacting on camera, off camera, his habits are speaking very highly of a troubled individual, and he's coming apart. And the question must be asked: well, we know who's writing his material. We know Stephen Miller is the culprit writing most of this crazy material that he's working from off of the script. Mm. And then we have to ask the question, because all the generals are gone: who is running the White House? If there is an issue, and remember this, folks. Ronald Reagan, while in office, had hints of suffering from early stages of Alzheimer's disease, and they kept that from the public.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, listen, FDR.
So it's not without,
FDR was crippled,
yes.
right? So I mean,
yes.
look at how Dick Cheney shot a dude in the face. Look what happened. They're making movies about
Thank
it and
you.
Laughing. You know, I mean, this is the country we live in. These are the people that. You know, JFK, I mean, some despicable, talk about the Me Too movement. JFK was trying to do some really good things or was really progressive, but in terms of, from a Me Too perspective, some of the things he was doing were kind of despicable, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and this is the stuff that they kept from the, like you said, kept from the public, you know, and it can be kept. That's what I'm talking about. Those who have access, you know, can keep things in. It's very easy to do. It only takes a small number. You know, I was shopping just around town tonight and seeing the masses. The masses of our people are in a poor, mid-level, kind of socioeconomic level to poor, lower class, right? There's a mentality that is with that. Is a mentality that is accepting of probably not the best things that black people should be accepting of. Certain aspects of our music, young people's music, certain lifestyles, certain philosophies about life, got to get yours, a certain desperation before things run out. I mean, I go shopping in a particular grocery store, and things are out, and it's a well-stocked place. But the mentality, the vibe I feel sometimes when things are products are set out or they bring restock a shelf, it's almost a feeling of desperation, the way the people react in grabbing this stuff when you know there's going to be more. I mean, they're not running out. So it's a certain mentality that I think you have find it in all societies, that in order for a people to move forward, and, you know, they talk about the talented 10th and And the young people now are talking about people who are woke. You know, it's a small percentage. It's a small percentage of individuals who are aware, have knowledge of self, as Minister Farrakhan puts it. I was watching some video last night, past couple of days, of Farrakhan on Donahue when he first came on the first couple of times.
Right.
He was
right.
just talking the truth. I mean, you know, we all don't agree with him 100%, but the truth he was telling had some of the white people so incensed. My God, you're talking about, you know, you how they used to say that he was stirring up race and hatred and prejudice, and when he, all he was doing was telling the truth. He wanted his own people, and it really brought home to me, and that's where we are again in our society, I believe, you know, with the election of the first African-American president, caused people to lose their mind, that some people have the audacity to feel that they, to really feel that they were a member of the society and walk around with that first-class citizenship mentality that has been so, that is basically, in other words, called white privilege.
Right.
And
right.
during other
exactly.
presidencies. It's interesting, you know, and here comes this man who's so, he's so upset, man. The Supreme Court guy was so upset and so appalled that he would have to go through this this type of nomination process, right? I mean, his response to everything was angry and defiant. And how can you people, this is just despicable. And it wasn't, you know. There was evidence of you doing things that you're accused of repeatedly. But, hey, they elected the guy, the president, who was doing the same thing. So what are you going to do?
I got to ask, as you bring all this up, everybody about the R. Kelly. I only saw a piece of it the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your take?
Couldn't care less.
You couldn't care less about my mother and my sister. We're going to call Lisa in here because I'm sure she has a vivid opinion. I stopped being a fan of R. Kelly when I heard about the videotape, and someone reputable that I trust told me that the videotape that actually was quite a young girl that was in the tape that you could see. So I kind of stopped. I stopped really listening to any of his music, or, you know, when I can, if I hear something of his, I'd just turn the radio station because I'm not a fan at all. Ironically, a friend of mine who produced Drop Squad was producing a series of his music, long-form music videos called Trapped in the Closet, you know, when he was dealing with a wife who was cheating on her pastor husband, and to come to find out the pastor husband in the second or third video was gay. And I was asked if I wanted to play that role, and I said, no, I didn't really want to play that role. I had previously had that challenge, and at the time I was just didn't really want to play that type of role. I had young men, nephews and stuff in my family. So for me, I didn't want to project that image. And she was taken aback. Well, you know, what do you have prejudice against playing a gay character? I was like, no, that's not it. But I'm certainly not going to play that character in a video with a guy who's been an alleged or accused child molester, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, I've been down with R. Kelly for quite some time. I happened to see a young girl on this TV show, The Real, with the four young women.
Yeah, not young girl.
Kind of the younger version of The View. And I saw they had a girl on that show who had been through the whole thing with R. Kelly. It was about three or four months ago, if that, maybe even longer. And just to hear her story was enough to really cement in my mind that this is an individual I'm not going to support in any way, shape, or form. You know, and people want to dance, and I understand music and does mighty things and hits us at certain times in our life and all that, but no, you know.
I'm not too familiar with R. Kelly, so I'm going to hold back my opinion. But if he is a dog, he should be treated by a dog, like a dog.
Right.
Period. In, out.
Right. Right. So that's my opinion. I don't know what you feel, or Byron, what you feel. I mean, Wayne, you just said what you felt. Byron, did you get a chance to see it?
Yeah, I did see the first two, maybe three episodes. I didn't see the last one. And it is very despicable. Well, R. Kelly has been accused of being a pedophile.
Yeah.
And there's tapes of him abusing young women. He is as much a person who's a narcissist as Trump is.
Wow.
And he has done some despicable things that have been, he himself has taped, and others have testified and have seen visually his abuse of young girls. And he's not been prosecuted or tried. The case that was brought up against him, the jury did not find him guilty. And ever since then, he's been walking in and out of a persona that has got many boycotting his records, many boycotting putting them even on radio, and many boycotting not going to see his concerts until justice is done for the women he has abused. He is a dog.
Mm-hmm. You know, he has, although, however, it wasn't in the news, or I saw somewhere online that his sales of his music had spiked after the first couple of them, at least.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
if that's still the case. You know, the abuse of the women is one thing, and trying to have almost a pimp perspective in terms of what you can make women do. But then when he crosses the line from that into doing it to young girls, to pedophilia. So, I mean, it's despicable all around. A buddy of mine was telling me about it and was talking about how brave the women were to come forward and things like that. Certainly, if Cosby has to pay for his crimes, this guy does too, I think. However,
yeah.
My friend was telling me, or somebody was telling me, they saw a documentary with his brother. And his brother said that they were
yes.
abused at a young age by their sister. So we all know that usually something like that, the psychologist
usually
has told
does.
Us that that's
usually...
usually
yeah.
Yeah, that's usually the case of a pedophile, that they've been abused as a child. And it's unfortunate that, and that means she possibly was abused as a child. So it's something that's one of those unfortunate hereditary traits that unfortunately follows some of these people, you know, and it's really unfortunate. But, you know, it's interesting and amazing what media, what fame and celebrity does to people, right? And what power
yeah.
allows people to do. And get away with.
The really sad thing is that the evidence that they show in the docudrama or documentary piece is so overwhelming, it makes you start to question, where has justice really been? Why has this individual been allowed and continue to not go check? Well, now there are indictments for him that are now pending as a result of the documentary, but you have to understand the number of years that he has been under the radar for justice. His marriage to Aaliyah when she was underage, obviously underage, the destruction of several women and their person, you know, their profile, their person themselves. He's really done some really bad things, and I'm hoping that as a result of, let's just say, the benign neglect of justice with respect to this particular individual, it's amazing in how, it, you know, the system itself has protected him.
Yeah, and,
Byron,
I'm glad
you
brought that out, Byron, because I tell you, when I hear his defense team come out and basically poo-poo the charges, you think
yeah.
they're all graduates of the Rudolph Giuliani School of Law. You know, it's like they're all in denial about basically all that goes on. I mean, there's something to be said about representing someone of that caliber. But again, everybody's innocent till proven guilty. But what bothered me was the surge in record sales. And again, it was like a throwback to some things that I witnessed when I was, you know, working at a music station and see different entertainers come in and out and get away with stuff. And I've had some personal experiences, you know, that bothered me. But I put things in perspective, realizing that, you know, it is what it is. And if somebody is going to be vulnerable or so inclined to fall into that trap, it's just a matter of time before they realize, you know, what goes on. And
yeah, right.
It's I don't know. I can't say it's just indicative of the times, you know. I mean, you mentioned Bill Cosby earlier, Eric, and it still saddens me to think that this guy who had everything going for him, you know, was capable of doing what he did, but he did it. you know.
Right.
He admitted,
and that's heinous. What he was doing was heinous. I mean, really, I mean, even regardless of the generation you come from where that was condoned, that even in that generation, even in that,
yeah,
and I saw Terry Crews on The View today talking about male masculinity, in toxic, whatever, toxic masculinity. And that, just a phrase, when you think about it, that's true to a certain degree. And I didn't get the chance to watch the show. I met Terry Crews. He's a very, really nice individual.
Honorable.
But they're, just when you think of that phrase, yes, it can be toxic at times. It has certainly has been toxic in the course of history in the world, and it still is today. And, you know, what Bill Cosby did, what R. Kelly, what these guys are doing, it goes beyond. You know, what's happening between two consenting adults is one thing. But when someone is not consenting or is forced to do something against their will, that's where you move, or you give somebody drugs to actually knock them out or keep someone against their will physically. That's particularly heinous.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
instead of talking about R. Kelly or Trump, you know, they're disgusting creatures. I say one thing, they should not be allowed to live.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And
right.
I don't want to hear his name or Trump's name again. Let's change the subject.
Well, let's just finish this.
Let's change the subject now.
Let me hold on for a second. Let me see if I could. Let me just make this last point. And we talked about justice a little while ago. And justice, you know, or the abuse of justice, I just wrote this down, is for those that can afford it, right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, really, what is just? I mean, Bill Cosby was able to abuse justice, you know.
Anyone who abuses justice,
right,
and does to women what the things that they shouldn't do should die.
Which is exactly what I'm saying. So it requires, you know, we have a society and a world that operates on power, and those who have access to power and are willing to abuse their power. You got Les Moonves, you know, Harvey Weinstein, certainly. There's a certain amount of power that these people had over people who wanted something from them.
Yeah, we're talking about them and giving them a little bit of press here.
Therein lies the gray area sometimes when you have, you know, people who want to achieve in a field that they want to achieve in. And sometimes they're willing to do whatever it takes, certainly in the field of performance where some of those things can be part of the performance per se, which is how they get over. So I think that, you know, we have to really make sure that everybody has equal justice under the law, not just the wealthy, not just those who can afford it.
No, they don't deserve equal justice under the law now, okay? Not at all.
Right, not just the wealthy. Everybody deserves equal justice under the law, not just the wealthy and the powerful. But as you were saying,
anybody who commits a crime, especially crime against women, they don't deserve any justice
right,
at all.
Right, we're talking about justice,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
And so let's move on to to the Golden Globes, if you guys have anything to say about that. I don't know what you guys think about the winner.
The Golden Globes. Let's just say the Golden Globes missed a grand opportunity to recognize internationally the film that galvanized the planet right now.
Beale Street.
And that's Black Panther. It'll be very interesting to see how the Academy Awards balances this act, because I'm very happy for Regina King, and I'm very happy for the brother who won Best Supporting Actor, even though the story was about him. It should have been Best Actor, but that's another whole story too. But getting back,
I didn't see Byron.
Element.
You said that you said, hold on for a second. I didn't quite hear that, and I didn't watch the Golden Globes because I'm really tired of actors just really. With the whole, you know, really on their own stuff a little bit too much all the time. But you say that, what's his name with the very long first name?
I had it a second ago. I can't say it now. But yes, he was he won the best supporting actor in the Green Hornet.
Supporting actor.
For a show that was about his character.
Right.
So was the other guy?
He was not up for Best Actor.
That's remarkable. How about? But I'm going to ask. Let me hold on for 1 second. Well, how about the other guy that was in the movie? Was he up for Best Supporting Actor as well, or was he up for Best Actor?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't up for Best Actor. It was only one person from that show who got a nomination.
Oh, okay. And the lead was nominated for Best Actor. Yeah, that's interesting. That's crazy.
I say this to say about Black Panther, it did not win anything. Okay, not even. But they were there. The cast was there. They used them as presenters, but they looked like like fish out of water when they should have been honored for the work that set the world record. So at the point at which it's interesting how to interpret that, because Spike Lee was there. Spike's show movie didn't win anything, and as Spike's movie was good, but the movies that did win showcase the stereotypical Hollywood self-indulged type of fantasy movies that they're normally given to make. The money, people who produced it were the ones who got the awards.
Right.
So
we're gonna say when?
The only thing I was gonna say is that it seems to be part of the industry. There's a phenomenon there about Spike Lee and the political messages that he produces and sends out that I just, for some reason, I feel the industry is not ready, you know, and he should be honored, you know. I mean, I know he's gotten other awards and things like that for being a director, but, you know, it was mentioned how successful Black Panther was. But you're right. You know, it, as I look back now, and I didn't get a chance to see that, and I didn't see Beale Street yet. But the bottom line is that there's something to be said about the success and being recognized in some capacity for having pulled that off. You know, I mean, when it came to the Asian
movie.
Oh,
right?
I can't think of the title. You know, crazy movie about which I thought was somewhat stereotypical, but you know, they got all the accolades and recognition.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, for me, you know, I gotta disagree with the common notion about Black Panther it being bad that Black Panther wasn't nominated anyway, because Black Panther is a spectacle movie traditionally. You know, it's a superhero movie. I mean, and we're all happy that it was a black movie, made us all feel good, and top number three grossing of all time. But movies like that traditionally haven't been movies that where the actors get nominated
exactly
for Best Actor, and where the movies
exactly
get nominated even for Best Picture, because it's more about, you know, the craft. They've traditionally made it about the craft and the filmmaking and the art of it, as opposed to the spectacle and how popular a movie is. That's why they started coming up with some of these other award shows to recognize the popularity of certain movies that weren't artistic powerhouses, but certainly were good enough, were good in their genre from an artistic standpoint, but also in telling these fantasy-type stories. Star Wars, I don't know. I can't remember if Star Wars, if it was nominated, would have been a special effects or costumes or something like that. But in terms of Best Actor and all that, someone's really got to be throwing down and have a character that really jumps out for them to even get on everybody's radar screen because of the nature of those movies, you know? And so because of the nature of those movies, you don't get. So that's to me, I mean, I'm proud of Black Panther too, just for the fact that they made it, and it was made well, and it was a good, really good movie for its genre. But that is not a genre that's going to get Hollywood attention. And you know, different years, people get different things, and usually in the Oscars, that's where their your peers vote on your, you know, the various categories, the peers vote, I believe, as opposed to the Golden Globes, which is Hollywood Foreign Press. They vote and
right,
make the nominations, so it's a little bit of different things. I mean,
I'm looking at
I could see Black Panther getting something like costumes or special effects or anything like that. You wanted to say, Mom?
Yes, I'm looking at a book that I have had for several years, and the author is Glenda Taylor, and Glenda Taylor talks about the significance and the power of Black women, and she also talks in this book about the African American woman, especially in actors, and she talks about them being storytellers, singers, lyricists, poets, writers, artists, filmmakers, cultural historians, educators, scholars, et cetera, et cetera. And they talk about the communal family history. But the women involved, the Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, and all these other people that she's talking about, you know, and she tells how great they were. The African-American griots such as Maya Angelou, Oprah Winfrey, Nina Simone, Lena Horne, Eartha Kitt, internationally known people who never really completely got complete recognition, right? And I'm so tired of hearing about these people who really don't deserve, you know, the admiration, you know, and the sickening, you know, just groveling at their feet without making any contributions to Black women. Maya Angelou, Toni Morrison, Sonia Sanchez, Nikki Giovanni are examples of female griots, Jalamusos, that Glenda talks about.
Yeah, well, I think that certainly Regina King is kind of beginning to fall into that category of that, based on these.
Not yet.
Her acceptance speech. That's why I'm saying beginning to fall in that category,
yes,
based on
her. She's a wonderful performer, yes.
But she also, in her acceptance speech, she also talked about making projects and producing every project she does with 50% of women. So that in itself is something that is certainly long overdue and being welcomed by a lot of people, that she's, in fact, making that move, that bold move. I don't know, it seemed like she didn't really plan on doing it until she got caught up in the moment standing up there. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but I certainly kind of seemed that it wasn't something, or maybe it was, but I mean, it was a long speech and she started getting played off with the music, and it just seemed like, you know, she got inspired with the moment, and that's cool, but, you know, and it's very cool because that means it'll certainly be 50% women, and I'm sure a lot more African-American women being that, you know, with the success of a lot of these films, so...
Well, I think all of us would love to see that happen. I just wonder how realistic,
it's got to start with it. Yeah, it's got to start with putting it out there in the universe. And that universe, if you do not declare it, it will not get considered. And the fact that she declared it and will be held to certain standards to make sure, because she put it out there for it to be reviewed and surveyed. So a year from now, let's find out just how successful that was. Because the dynamics of change have to start somewhere. And she made the effort as a last set. Oh, by the way, I have one more thing to say. And she put it on the line. So I take my hat off to Regina. You know,
she said it.
She claimed it, you know.
That's right. And that's good. And someone like her, I know she'll follow up with it. We're rolling up on 90 seconds, guys. Do you want to...
Yeah.
Give your last words before we flow off. Byron, you go first, my brother.
Well, I have a play reading next Monday at the Frank Silvera Writers Workshop. Please come out. It's called The Talk by Dr. Janice Lydell. I'm directing the reading. Eric, you would love to be a part of this. So it's featuring seven fantastic actors from David Roberts to Denise Dumaine, Odysseus Baylor, Lauren Bryant, Guy Whitlock, Johnny May, and Sharon
Wonderful.
Hope, all award-winning actresses and actors. 7 p.m. at the Billie Holiday Theater, Monday, January 14th,
Terrific.
2019, and it's free.
Terrific.
Great. All right. Thank you, Brother Byron. Brother Wayne. Wayne Gilman, give me that off real
like
quick.
I'd like to attend. That's in my old neighborhood in Bed-Stuy, Do or Die. And it sounds like a very interesting evening.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that it's my favorite thing, it's free. You know,
great.
Everything free I try to get.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you very much. This has been the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm Citizen Payne.
And I'm Kay Thompson. Join us next Wednesday, 8 to 9. I'm going to be having a whole lot more information about black history and black women historians, et cetera, professors, writers. Okay? Thank you for joining us. Thank you.